ければ。
These civilized people, they'll eat each other.
Where's my bitches?
Where are they?
I ain't about to sit back and talk about Gats and Glocks and try.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
For the money, but got 20s and dimes. I got my mind on my money, for the money I grind. I'm just trying to feed my seed, cause my mom need the cheese. This for my n****s on the struggle that's trying to survive. That's ex-con, so they can't get a 9 to 5. Hit the block, do what you do, cause I've been doing it too. Yeah. I stay with the Trey Pound, I ain't playing around. I got my gat at all times, that's the bottom line.
You hustle.
Yeah, till I lie in the grave.
You hustle.
Yeah, and I'ma try to get paid. This for my n****s in the street that play with the heat. This Cassidy and MJ on this Swiss beat.
We hustle.
12 months of the year.
We hustle.
It ain't a bunch of front in the hair.
Gotta yeah. Hold my man down, we ain't playing around. Got his back at all times, that's the bottom line.
We hustle.
Till the day we die.
We
keep our love alive. To my fam in the streets, we bringing the heat. Cassidy and Mary J on the Swiss beat.
We hustle
7 days a week.
We hustle
just to stay on the beat.
Yeah. Every day, you know you gotta hustle, baby.
I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie.
Check it, you can fair respect it. I want a thing hold for clan to wreck it. If you don't like this song right here, then your ear's infected. You need to get your hand corrected. Stones clan the necklace. I wear so much plaid on my neck, it put bruises on the back of my neck. That's why cats is upset. But I told you I'ma shine when it's time to. I put too much time and I've been rhyming since 9-2. I knew I'm a hustler was a hit, cause everything I ever got I had to hustle to get. Ain't nobody give me nothing for free, but I'd probably be dead or in jail if it wasn't for tea. Getting booked is a and catching a slug scary. I need to feed my seed, thanks for the love, Mary. But seeing me without the grams on the grind is like seeing Wesley Snipes in the Tanner Salon. I'm the hustler,
Check 1, 2. Coming at y'all live and direct. Big Mike and full of phys ed, man. MacCity.com. Oh my God, man. It took me a while to go ahead and get this man, you know, on the spot, man. You know, he's a very busy man. I had a couple cats, man, hit me up on email. It was like, man, you said you was going to get Angry Man on the show. Where is Angry Man? And I was just like, bruh, for real, man, calm down, bruh. You know, I got things to do, man. You know what I'm saying? So, without further ado, yes, we have the Angry Man from YouTube on the Mac City Limit show. Finally, man, took me a while to go ahead and put this thing on together because, like I said, once again, he's a busy man. But once again, Angry Man, how you feeling, man? What's going on with you?
What's going on, bro? Doing good. You know? Same old.
First of all, let me say that I've been watching you for a while. Bruh, man, you know, it's I feel like a low-key stalker, man. First time I ever seen you, man, was when you was going back and forth with the top ramen noodle nigga. The top ramen noodle, yeah, man. I was like, what the hell is this shit about, man? You know what I mean? Because, I don't know, I think, actually, I'm not sure who I seen first. You or Chris Smith, man. I'm not sure, man. But I came on the scene watching all that right about that time, man. And then I seen, what's that other dude name, man? Man, I can't remember that other dude name that got into the, oh yeah, Big Body Cole. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Matt.
Yeah. I seen all that stuff going on. That was some good entertainment, man. I was just like, this is good shit right here, man. I was hooked ever since, man. And then, and of course, I see the progression from, you know, how you started in your ride, man, you know what I mean? And then, you know, it's just, I'm like, wow, man, he is really putting this thing together really nice, man. The graphics is tight, the audio is tight, you know, the green screening and all that. I'm like, damn, like, he blowing up real well. Yeah, so it's like, you was talking about, I think you was talking about a subject, man, you know, the grind, man, and the hustle, man, and what it actually takes to do this. And I'm just at a loss for words, man, because a lot of times you echo a lot of sentiments that I have, man, about, you know, niggas coming up and talking to you like what you do ain't a job. You know what I mean? Can you expound on that?
Well, you know, usually whenever it's like somebody who's never been a boxer before, never gotten a ring.
Right.
You know, they'll speculate all day about it. And they'll say, well, if I was a fighter, I would have did this and I would have did that. But they don't realize, like, it's a whole nother story when you're in that ring.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really understand or grasp the concept of what people are doing. If you're a YouTuber, if you're a content creator, and you're taking it seriously, yeah. We're not talking about somebody who just turns on his phone, shoots a video, and then posts it.
Right.
If you're a person who's actually taking it seriously, like you're a content creator, meaning you're trying to do live streams where you're taking phone calls on Blog Talk Radio, and you're working with your video production, making sure that your video production is tight. Like, you're literally doing the job of what mainstream media hires several people to do.
Right.
So if you're your own cameraman, you're your own video producer, you're your own project director, you're your own publicist, you're your own, like, you're basically a one-man team. And the way cats are out here doing it is making the whole market redefine itself, because now people have to question, okay, well, here you have this individual who's doing all of what we're paying multiple people to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? So it's definitely a job. I think Kevin Samuels put it best when he said, you know, if you're a YouTube content creator and you're doing it at a certain level, you're basically flying the plane while you're building it.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a thing where, like I said, I had to take me about 40 days off. I mean, 'cause just the little stuff that I did Right, because I'm not really a YouTuber, you know what I mean? I'm more so just like a podcaster, man, you know what I mean? Not too much into the video, but just doing my podcast, you know, I might, you know, let me see, maybe about 6 or 7 podcasts a month if I'm really on my grind, you know what I mean? And just doing those shows, man, bruh, you know, that's taxing, man, just putting them shows together. So I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at O'Shea and Obsidian and all the stuff that y'all doing, man. And I was like, man, they putting out crazy amounts of content, man. And I'm like, just the little stuff that I did with y'all, just going on like some of the hangouts and stuff, that was taxing. Just sitting there just talking and trying to figure out things to say and, you know, entertain the crowd and also be informative. And, you know, to do that on a daily basis, you know what I mean? To come off like you know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? It's really insulting when I hear someone say to any of you cats, man, get a job. It's a trip, man. I'm like, these niggas is retarded.
niggas got several jobs. They don't. Niggas got several jobs, man. Like, right now, I got several jobs. And the crazy thing about it is, like, you know, I'm a different type of YouTuber. There's a lot of YouTubers out there in the black sector, YouTube, but I'm a different type of YouTuber. Like, you probably would have to put me in the category of, like, say, an Obsidian or Minister Jap, because we're the type of YouTubers, we're not just up here doing what we're doing and don't expect to be compensated for what we're doing.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like when you look at the rap game. You look at the rap game, and right now everybody praises Jay-Z for being the entrepreneur that he is.
Mm-hmm.
But most people never ask the question, like I did back in the day, what separates a Jay-Z from another rapper who goes broke?
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is Jay-Z, from day one, has been an entrepreneur, and he made sure that he didn't leave money on the table.
Right.
You're going to pay him for what he's worth. You're going to, he's giving you quality content, he's giving you quality music, quality performances. You're going to pay top dollar for that.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things that I do. So, like, it's taxing as hell putting out this much content. And, right. You know, fortunately for me, I've lived enough life and read enough and learned enough to where I got like an endless resource of shit to talk about.
Okay.
You know, but it's taxing as a motherfucker. The only thing that really, at the end of the day, makes it worthwhile is the fact that you have people who hit you up and say, yo, the video you did on such and such, man, that shit changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And actually being compensated for what you're doing, because like niggas tell me, yo, you need to go get a 9-to-5. Nigga, I make what I would make on 3 9-to-5s.
Right.
Like I'm not even interested.
For real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing is, it's funny, man, you know, the hypocrisy of niggas is like, you know, I don't know any cat that's walking up the earth, man, especially a black man, that wanna do something for free. You know what I mean? And it's like these same cats, man, that would scoff at the opportunity or scoff at somebody telling them to go to their job and put in, you know, 8 hours at their job and don't get compensated. You know, these are the same cats that's looking at you like you should be just on an endless grind on YouTube and not expect any sort of appreciation at all. It's like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, where do you niggas come from, man? It's retarded. I don't really have words to really say about it, man. To me, I got this big thing, man, about black folks and IQ, man. It's just like, I mean, you really have to be stupid not to understand, you know, that a brother wants to be compensated for his hard work. And then you scoff at the brother that's actually doing it. But then again, you know, you don't want that same sort of thought process put on you. You don't want you don't want to work for free. So why you want this man to work for free? I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about it, it's, there's a different breed out here.
Right.
Like, you might see some remnants of, you know, what I would call our breed. Anybody that's a hustler.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't mean hustler in the sense of drug dealer. I mean somebody that just grinds, you know, whatever it is they're doing. They're putting in 100%, you know what I'm saying? And they eat, sleep, and breathe whatever it is they're doing. Like, where I come from, that's what dudes did.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of what you was doing, whether you was working a 9-to-5 and then you had, like, a part-time gig, like, dudes hustled. Like, I used to be out, I used to be, like, a street vendor, and I would be out in the street, and I would always bump into the same dudes. And it didn't matter what type of, it wasn't always the same grind. Sometimes they would, like, there was one dude, I'll never forget, he was selling, they call him Roseman. Because the dude literally created a hustle where he goes to clubs and he'll, like, buy a dozen roses. And then he'll go to the club, or a couple dozen, and he'll go inside the club and he'll walk up on dudes that's with their ladies and be like, hey, man, don't you want to buy a rose for your lady? And put him on the spot.
Yeah.
This dude literally made a living doing this. And the next time I seen him, he was doing something else.
Mm.
So it's like... it's just like a different type of breed, like where dudes know, like, if you're a black man in America, like, you can try to get into corporate America, but there's always going to be a ceiling on what you can do. So, in my opinion, the black man in America has to be an entrepreneur if he wants to be able to generate any type of wealth, you know?
Right, no doubt. Well, it's obvious, you know, maybe... I'm reading too much into this, but I would assume that you enjoy, that you really love what you're doing right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. I enjoy it. I've always wanted to have like, a platform to speak to people. Like, I just enjoy, like, I enjoy sharing thoughts. I enjoy brainstorming. Like, I just enjoy that type of thing. Like, aside from that, you know, the other end of it, I enjoy, like, the doing graphics. I enjoy the promotion of it.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy the sales aspect of it. I enjoy the videography of it. I enjoy all of it. I'm an artist, you know, natural artist.
Right. Yeah, I can tell, man. I'm like, damn, man, this is some really nice graphic design he got on here, man. And not only that, you know, the key to success, especially, and you're real good at this, man, and it's real sincere and genuine what I see, you know what I mean? But you interact with your audience and you respect them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a really, you know, this cat got all the bases covered, man. And like I said, it don't come off phony, it don't come off contrived. You know what I mean? It's like you can really tell, you really appreciate cats coming in, you know what I mean, and rocking with you, man. And you know, and I'm feeling that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like the way I was brought up, that the most important thing about a man wasn't how much money he made, it wasn't, you know, if he was the most handsome, it wasn't if he had the nicest car. It was if his word was his bond. If he was a man of integrity.
Right.
So I always try to, you know, carry that, even if I got to suffer for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I'm trying to build a relationship with people who follow me that's going to be a lifelong relationship.
Right.
Like, I don't want to tell cats one day that this is what I'm about, and then 5 years later, you know, they find out that's not really what I'm about. You know what I'm saying? So I would rather, because, like, I could get up there like a lot of cats do and lie and mess around and get hundreds of thousands of subscribers right away just from some posturing.
Right.
But I said, nah, I would rather just be genuine and be myself. You know, just like Biggie said in that classic interview with Big Les, he was like, yo, if you come out with a gimmick, you're only going to be hot as long as the gimmick is hot. But if you come out being yourself, people are going to always love you.
Right,
you know, if they love you, if they receive you well and you're being yourself, they're going to always love you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm going to do me and be me, and whoever like it, like it. Whoever don't, don't, you know?
Hell yeah, man. Shit, that's And once again, another aspect of what you do, which is really good. I'm like, man, this nigga know what he doing, man. The whole concept of, you know, creating your brand, man. I was like, man, he got the Angry Man hats. He got the Angry Man merchandise. I'm like, man, fuck this nigga. I was like, hey, you bringing out the hater, boy. I'm like, man, look at this shit, man. I'm like, he ain't doing nothing wrong, man. I'm like, okay. Yeah, man. I'm like, okay. Hey, boy. But hey, I would imagine, man, you know, like I said, I mean, I'm joking about the hater shit, but for real, that's got to bring out the hating niggas, man, because, you know, when they see a cat that's really...
What?
Man. You got stories,
hate,
huh?
The level of hate is on another level.
Damn.
This shit is... This. Man, I've heard some of the most hateful shit known to man.
Damn.
I challenge anybody to bring up stories of shit people have said to them. Like, I've had people say some of the worst shit. But it's cool, because, like, I don't trip about it, because they only say it to me on the internet.
Right, okay.
Like, if I see people out in public, I've spotted people spot me.
Mm.
And they won't say nothing.
Right.
And I know they know who I am, because they'll look at me and they'll see the hat and shit, and they'll get the funny look on. That's how I know who the haters are.
Okay.
Because, like, if it's somebody that like me, they'll be like, yo, Angry Man, what's up? But if it's somebody that don't like me, they'll see the hat and they'll be like, this nigga. They won't say nothing. They won't say shit. But, you know, like, the whole branding thing, like, I actually attended the Art Institute briefly.
Right.
And one of the classes we had was a class on corporate branding and the importance of your logo. The importance of constantly promoting yourself and making sure that people always see your brand and always see your logo and standing behind your brand and making sure it's quality.
Right.
And, you know, aside from that, I just noticed certain cats constantly did that was super successful. If you look at Puffy.
Right.
Puff Daddy was always branding himself.
Okay.
And then the moment he got into Ciroc and got, you know, every time you've seen that dude, I don't care what I think he was on Entourage one time playing golf, and he told Turtle, he said, yo, man, you need to buy some stock in Ciroc. Like, he gonna say Ciroc forever.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Because he's
taking the money. And not only that, but you look at Jay-Z with Rockefeller. Man, he had cats throwing up the rock that wasn't even a part of Rockefeller.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I just noticed, like, whenever dudes have brands, you know, you stand out. Your brand will last a hell of a lot longer than your personality, because your brand is dynamic. You can always update your brand. Your
right,
brand,
right.
Updating your brand is a hell of a lot easier to reinvent yourself.
Damn, so you get hate, like, in real life, not just on the internet. I was thinking more so, you know, on YouTube and in the internet, but you saying that you get some backlash in the real world because, you know, you get down how you get down, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, damn, yeah. Man.
Jap's the same way. Ask Jap, Minister Jap about that. He's the same way. He go places in Chicago,
uh-huh.
And niggas automatically want to debate him because he showed up.
Man, hell no. Yeah, shout out to Jap, man. Yeah, I fucks with him, too. I watch his shit, man. I be like, boy, because it's like I said, it's funny watching how y'all started and then watching the elevation, man. It's like, man, they ain't playing no games, man. They ain't playing no games, for real. Well, check this out. Let me ask you this, man, you know, because you're a well-read brother, man. And, I have, like, you know, a core audience and shit, man, you know, and some of them know about you, some of them don't, but some of them that do, some of them do have a bone to pick with you. I personally don't really see the problem, but this is what they say. Okay, they're saying, well, Angry Man, he represents street. But then again, on the other flip side, he trying to represent geek culture. And so I'm saying to you, I'm like, well, is that a conflict of interest, or can you be both?
No, it's not a conflict of interest, because the problem is, it's only a conflict of interest because black people have street dude, you think there's no possible way that dude likes Star Wars or like comic books or like, but the truth of the matter is, that's not the case. Like, there's a lot of street dudes that come to my channel, and I can tell that they got street background,
right.
But I can have conversations with them about Star Wars. I can have conversations, like, this whole thing where they put this divide between what we call the classic man, used to be called the educated lame or whatever.
Right.
We put this divide between him and the street dude or the thug or whatever you want to call it. It's just another way to keep black men at odds with each other.
Right.
Because the truth of the matter is, the average black man doesn't fit in that box.
Mm-hmm.
Black men are too diverse to be put in boxes, because you have dudes that came up, street dudes that was hustling, that was drug, like a Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously this dude is super intelligent, definitely an overachiever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then at the same time, you have guys, I've known guys back in the day that was straight up nerds. They got straight A's in school, but if you run up on them, they'll beat your ass just like a thug will beat your ass.
All right.
So, you know, we got these categories that we put brothers in, and me personally, I've been trying to bridge that gap.
Okay.
I've been trying to bridge it and show people that, you know, just because you look at somebody like Young Dro, he attempted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Dro came out with Grand Hustle, only thing Dro was wearing was like button-ups and polo shirts and sweater vest, and he made the shit look cool.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He was dressed like Carlton Banks, head to toe. And, you know, for a street dude to do that, that's a big thing right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, basically what you're saying is, the two can exist in one entity.
Yeah.
No, no doubt.
Definitely.
Okay, and I basically feel that, because basically I feel like I'm like you, except for this is what I feel you are. I feel like you about 60% street, 40% geek. But I'm like the flip side. I think I'm like 60% geek and 40% street. You know what I'm saying? I think I got more geek in me than street. I think you got more street in you than geek. You know what I'm saying? So when cats hit me with that, I'm like, man, I don't necessarily agree with that, man. You know, I think dudes can do both. You know what I mean? But some cats don't necessarily agree with that. Yeah.
Well, you know what? The interesting thing about it is a lot of cats, you know, everybody don't know my full background. Like, if people knew my full background, they would know I started out as a geek.
Okay.
Like, I started out when I was very young. I was like, you know, I was always into comics. I was always into anime. I was always into certain things. The street part came later because
okay.
I had to adapt.
Right.
I had to adapt to being in situations where, you know, that fight or flight situation where I just decided that I wasn't going to be that kid that got bullied or that kid that got, you know, and then as time went on, I always had a tendency to hang out with. See, I don't know what it is about me, but dudes that are more street, dudes that are like, I'd say 90% street,
right,
they just gravitate to me.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Like, everywhere I've ever lived, like, I always ended up being friends with, like, dude that was considered that dude in the street.
Right.
And I don't know what, so I always ended up in situations where, you know, I wasn't always hanging out with the best crowd and I would get into shit. But for the most part, you know, that wasn't my natural way. Like, me naturally, mm-hmm. I'm naturally a geek.
Right, right.
You okay. feel me?
All right.
But I just put on, I've adapted to being in messed up situations because of, you know, certain circumstances. So, you know.
Yeah, I came up the same way, man. I was raised in the suburbs, like, for the first half of my life, man, like, from, like, age 1 to, like, 11. And then I moved to the inner city, you know, It was just horrible, man. You know, talking about getting bullied and jumped on. You know, I had to deal with gangs and all that. So, like I said, I had that white boy background, and I was reading comic books and, you know, like I said, into Star Wars, Star Trek, into rock music, all sorts of shit like that. And that didn't go over too well in the inner city, man, with the brothers, man. So, yeah, like you said, I had to adapt myself, man. So since we on the geek thing, man, let me ask you this, man, just some kind of like, I guess you could say mundane questions, but what is your favorite comic? Or let me say, what do you like better, Marvel or DC?
DC nowadays, because Marvel has gotten on this social justice bullshit.
It's sickening, man. You know, putting all this, you know, they doing the whole racial thing, man. You know, with the white and the black, and you know, putting the woman is the strongest and the baddest. I can't say DC did that because you know Wonder Woman, that's expected. You know, that's always been. Yeah. You know, Wonder Woman's always been badass, you know what I mean? But this social justice warrior stuff where they trying to cram it all down your throat, man, you right, man. It is getting ridiculous. Okay, well, check this out. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I was going to say, I think DC is steering clear of that because they see what's going on with Marvel. Marvel actually had, this year, they had a tremendous drop in sales behind that social justice warrior shit because regardless of how much they want to tap the market of females,
right.
Females just don't buy comics.
Exactly.
They don't.
Right.
You know?
Mm-mm-mm. Well, check this out. Like, what is your, let me see, who's your favorite hero or your favorite group or character in all the comics?
Favorite hero is Batman.
Man, everybody be shitting on Superman. I'm not a Superman fan either, and I'm not really a DC fan, period. You know, I'm more like I said, I'm more Marvel, I'm more like X-Men, you know what I mean? I'm more like a Hulk, Wolverine type dude, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, Batman is, it's hard to go against Batman. They got some good lore and some good stories behind him, man.
I'm definitely a fan of Hulk and Wolverine.
Right.
The reason DC would get my vote as far as being my favorite is because they have my favorite hero and my favorite villain.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both part of the same title, which is Batman and the Joker.
Right.
It's my favorite hero and my favorite villain. So that's the reason. Then on top of that, Batman's just his story is just bugged out.
Right.
His story is just super interesting. Like, Superman's story is not really as interesting.
It's not
you
deep.
You think it would
it's
be.
It's not really deep.
But it's not.
Right.
Yeah, it's not. He doesn't even really have, like villains that I'm really that interested in. Like, Batman's villains, he has, like, a rogues gallery that's just super interesting. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, Joker, man. Like my favorite Joker would be, of course, the Heath Ledger. That's my favorite Joker, man. I was now the cat that what was that? What's that shit that just came out with
Jared Leto?
Yeah, he did a pretty good job too, man. I thought that I wasn't gonna dig it, man, but I'm like, he did a pretty good job, man. He still can't, you know, mess with a Heath Ledger, but I was pretty impressed with that too. What do you think?
He didn't get enough screen time.
Oh, okay.
If he would have got more screen time, he would have killed it. Truth be told, the best Joker would be a combination of all three.
Okay.
That would be the comic book Joker because each one of them was touching on something about the Joker. They were touching on one aspect of the Joker because, you know, Jack Nicholson, he had the theatrical part down. Heath Ledger had the dark, sadistic part and then Jared Leto had the mob boss part.
Yeah, right.
So if you combined all three of them, like we still haven't, and don't get it twisted. Like out of all three of them, Heath Ledger did the best job.
Right.
But we still haven't seen the best Joker potentially.
Okay.
They said they're supposed to make a standalone Joker movie.
Okay.
about his origin. I'm interested who they're going to pick for that.
The creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative reporter.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Joint, but shoot, let me, I got so many subjects, man, I need to hit you with. Okay, let me ask you this, man, because one of the main things that really gets me watching your videos, man, is your fact, the fact that you're very knowledgeable on quote-unquote pro-black situations and knowledge, and of course, you know, you are indeed a metaphysician, man. You know, when I was on a hangout with you, man, you was like popping your whip about a lot of esoteric shit that most niggas don't know. I was like, god damn, I gotta chop it up with this cat. But before we get on to the metaphysical shit, As far as, let me ask you something about the pro-black situation, okay? Because I was watching one of your videos, and you was actually making a distinction between today's pro-blacks and when you was coming up. You were saying that you basically came up kind of like an in-between era, man. You know what I mean? Where basically, if you really wanted the information and you needed the, you wanted the knowledge, you had to actively seek it and find it and go and get it. It ain't like it is today. Turn on your smartphone or, you know, Google the shit or whatever. And so what me and my boy Tony always talking about, man, we always saying, man, today's breed of pro-black can't hold our jock straps, man. You know what I'm saying? It's a situation where, you know, we had to actually go and find this shit, man. We had to hit the libraries, man. You know, we had to, you know, we had to read hard, you know, like paperback books and, you know, shit like that, man. These, I call these niggas today hidden color niggas. No knock on the hidden colors, but most niggas today, you know, they look at a DVD and then they get their ass on YouTube and they think they spitting something, man. So I would like to just get your opinion. I don't know. Is there a distinction between today's pro-black versus, you know, the pro-black when you was coming up in your formative years? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, because it's just like in the movie Jurassic Park when Dr. Malcolm was giving the guy the lecture about creating the dinosaurs. He said, I'm worried about your knowledge because it didn't require anything to get it. You stood on the shoulders of other men.
Right.
And you did something without even thinking if you should have did it. That's what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with a bunch of pro-blacks who it didn't require nothing for them to gain their knowledge.
Right.
So they didn't go through the process of going out and finding these books and then coming across the wrong information.
Yeah.
And then being able to distinguish and say, okay, you know what? This brother that made From Niggas to God, that's a good brother to read.
Right.
But this David Icke dude, I got to stay the fuck away from him. He's talking about white people and reptiles and shit like that. Like,
okay.
They didn't, you know what I'm saying? They don't have the ability to distinguish between information and misinformation.
Yeah, no power of discernment.
All of their source material is coming from the same spot, and they don't have to go out and find it. Like, they've never went and ordered a book from Barnes and Noble and then got the funny look from the white lady at the register when went to buy it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they've never done that. They've never had to. There actually was a bookstore here in Raleigh called Blacknificent, and everything in that bookstore was like a pro-black conscious brothers gold mine. And when I first found that store, man, I used to put aside money every week to go get a book from that store. And you know, there was brothers, and see, this is back in the late 90s and early 2000s when it wasn't cool to be conscious.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it wasn't a thing to be conscious. Like, if you were conscious and you were doing stuff, you were being ridiculed by every, like, the first time I had that conversation with my people and my family about Christmas, oh my God, they still look at me sideways to this day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But nowadays you got all of these memes and you know, I'll take a shot at Hidden Colors. It's paint by numbers.
Yeah,
when it comes to consciousness.
It is.
Like, that shit leaves out so much information, it's ridiculous. And somebody will, and see, that's the thing, like, I actually did a video the other day where I was talking about this guy that wanted to debate BGS.
Oh, I seen that.
A younger guy.
I seen that. His name is City something, right?
Yeah, City of Truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like I broke down, like, his information, like, he got to realize, I'm not even going to debate BGS.
Right.
Because BGS has had so much time to accumulate his knowledge. And he did it during an era where it definitely wasn't cool to be conscious. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for him to think he's going to go and debate BGS with that little minute bit of information he has, it's like, nah, dude, you can't, like, nowadays it's a great disservice to, like, the younger black people because they're getting flooded with information. And it's like trying to, it's like holding somebody down and trying to pour water down their throat. You're not going to be able to get it all in there. Some of it's going to spill on the sides of their mouth and shit. And worse, you might fuck around and drown.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, these cats, man, what was really missing, you know, is just the humility, man. It's a situation where you understand that the more you learn, the more you realize just how ignorant you truly are, man. And so when I talk to cats, man, they be like, you know, Hidden Colors, Hidden. I'm like, look, young blood, I read the books of the authors that was in Living Colors, man. I'm like, shut up talking to me, man. You know what I'm saying? I like, man, you, like you say, this paint by numbers. Once again, like my boy Tony would say, it's the cliff notes of consciousness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just, it's some real brief, you know, it's like fast food, you know, shove it down your throat. And do it taste good? It tastes good for a little bit. But then, once again, these cats kind of get full of themselves, and then they want to run up against a BGS. And this is like, bruh. You ain't even reading the source material, man. It's sickening, man. And I implore all the fellas, man, and the females that may be listening, like, please read a book. Please read the source material. You know what I mean? And be humble about it. You know, because seriously, you're going to really realize, man, the more you do this, you know, the harder it is to really discern what's true and what's not, because there's so much information out there, man. About stuff, man. The whole concept of cognitive dissonance, you know, it's like, it's hard to, you know, change your paradigm sometimes, man, because it's just so much stuff out there. Now, me, I've never had a real problem with cognitive dissonance. It's like, you know, when I first was reading the Bible and I was looking at, you know, the whole concept of Jesus. First, I believed in the concept of Jesus, and I believed he was the white man, the white hippie, and all of this, man. And then I was like, oh, no. Then I got so-called conscious, and I was thinking about Jesus is black. He got hair like lamb's wool, eyes like fire, skin like bronze, brass, whatever. And then I was thinking, wait a minute now, maybe he didn't exist at all, man. Maybe he's just an interpolation, man, of other older gods and saviors that came thousands of years before him. You know what I mean? So you cannot have cognitive dissonance and make those sorts of leaps, you know what I mean, when you get new information. But a lot of people seem incapable of, once they get new information, changing their worldview. I don't know, what's your, you know, what's your thoughts on people with cognitive dissonance and not being able to change their worldview?
It's both a gift and a curse, because human beings are creatures of habit.
Right.
And sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad thing. The human mind is so freaking untapped and not really understood.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that cats don't even realize is that we have the ability to convince ourselves of a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think somebody said the easiest person to trick is yourself.
Right.
So when a person sees something change, like, what I found out is that, like, there's certain shit that I know now that I won't tell people.
Exactly.
Like, I won't even waste my money. Like, when I was in my 20s, I would beat you over the head with my knowledge.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's certain things I won't even touch on, because I've come to understand that some things people believe in, it's so deeply ingrained in them, it has become part of their identity.
Right.
So if they stop believing in that, or they change that, they literally have to change their identity.
Yeah.
And that is something that's too traumatic for certain people. Like, if you were to tell a person right now that was, like, say, my grandmother's age, like 90, a black Baptist Christian, that there's a possibility Jesus never existed, like, that would literally destroy, like, they've been living 90 years and they believed in that for 90 years, so it would literally destroy the foundation of who they are as a person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's really what the problem is. Like, black people, we're too hung up on our traditions. Mm. So our traditions become our identity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
when you tell another black person, I don't go to church, they look at you like you crazy.
Shit.
What you mean you don't go to church? You gotta go to church.
Yeah.
You know what your problem is? You need Jesus. You know? You know all of that shit.
Yeah, man. You know, I remember coming up, and especially like when I was in the military by like 1989, man, and my favorite thing was, I mean, I was just cutting my teeth on the so-called pro-black power stuff. And I just was getting into the Nation of Islam. This is how green I was to the game. I didn't know that there was a difference between Orthodox Islam and, you know, the black Muslims, you know, the Farrakhan brand, right? And so I remember going up into a mosque or a masjid, man, you know, and there was all these Arabs in there and stuff, and, you know, there was some black folks in there. Wasn't no white people in there, but I was going in there talking about the white devil and shit, man, and you know, I was like, yeah, man, these white devils, this is all during Juma, you know, everybody make a salat, you know, and I'm talking about the white devils, and they looking at me like, you know, because this is an Orthodox Muslim spot, you know, they don't really have that concept, man, and they was just like, you are you sure you're in the right spot? You know what I'm saying? But it was a situation. But that's just a funny story because at this particular time, I was headstrong against going against the Masons. You know, I was really irritated about the Masons because they got the secrets and they won't tell the secrets. And why won't you tell the secrets? The secrets of this and secrets of that. And, you know, of course, the more that I studied, the more that I learned, I'm like, these motherfuckers don't know shit, man. You know, but then again, it was a situation where I was like, well, you know, there are some cats at the higher, you know, upper echelons that do have, you know, guard some heavy shit, man. But the more I studied, and just like what you were saying, you know, there's just some stuff I just won't talk about. There's just some stuff I'm just not going to try and convey to people. And I started to understand and learn why those who actually had some real heavy shit to say that was, you know, up in the Masonic Lodge, don't run their mouth. You know what I mean? Because the average cat ain't going to comprehend it. They're not going to understand it. And all you're going to end up doing is getting yourself persecuted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's for real. I was just like, man, just like on the hangout, you know, you was talking about like the layout of Washington, D.C., man, you know, how it's got like 5-point stars and you could actually see it, the Isle of Moloch on there. I mean, it's all kind of deep shit. You know, you bring that up to the average cat, man, you know, they looking at you like, nigga, you got too much time on your hands to be, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, nah, man, I'm just trying to show you, man, that the black sciences, man, you know, the whole concept of, you know, black people being the first people on the planet and being the innovators of certain sciences, that's real and that's true and that's right and exact. And once again, like we said on that hangout, I like they have dressed it up in the devil's horns to scare these Negroes away from the sciences.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And due to the fact that you concurred with that, I'm like, there's not many cats, man, that could nod their head to that and understand it and comprehend it, man. So I was just like, damn, man. It's like, it's just a breath of fresh air knowing that there's other people out here that understand that. I don't know, you want to add to that, man?
Well, yeah. The first thing that black folks got to learn how to do is they got to learn how to quit being afraid of the boogeyman.
No doubt.
And that's the first thing they got to do. Once they get past that shit and get past the programming,
mm-hmm.
And realize that here you have these people telling you that your ancestors and everything that they did was evil.
Right.
Everything they did was evil. You got the average person thinking that, you know, people who are practicing voodoo put, like, get voodoo dolls and put pins in it, and the damn voodoo doll doesn't even go with voodoo.
Right.
They don't even realize that shit. It's hearsay. It's somebody demonizing it. And the way I broke it down for everybody one time, because I did speak on it briefly one time.
Okay.
I said, if you don't believe that they convince you that your people are evil, go pick up any dictionary and look at the definition of white and look at the definition of black.
Okay.
associated with everything evil. So when you say black magic, evil magic.
Right.
When you say, you know, anything in reference to black is going to be considered evil. So, of course, you know, that the Egyptians, what they practiced was evil. Mm-hmm. What African ancestors practiced was evil. But on the flip side of that, they'll take your African ancestors and your African deities and they'll recreate them, put a new, like, just like I was saying about the brand. Mm-hmm. They'll update that brand and put it back out there.
Right.
You know, so you won't know that Spider-Man is originally a Anansi, which is a Western African deity.
Okay.
That was represented by the spider and called Spider-Man. So people don't know and they won't realize why that has so much power and why it's such a popular brand. It's because it has a certain energy in it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Things are powerful. Like right now, if I create the Angry Man brand, and then let's say I get it to the point where I've got millions and millions of followers.
Right.
Even after I'm dead and gone, that particular brand, that name will have a certain amount of power in it because of what I built it into.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And cats don't realize that. So nowadays, you got cats running around here wondering why they don't got no power. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you ain't got no power because you're cut off from your ancestors. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't even acknowledge your ancestors. But yet and still, the people that rule over you every day, the people that's actually running this damn country, they believe in your ancestors. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't be practicing the stuff that they practice.
Mm-hmm. Bugged out, man. You can't convince these brothers that, man. You can't convince them of that, man. It's like, yeah, the elite, man, those who basically run all of this, man, they practicing Egyptian science, man. They actually going back to Kemet to get their science of man, God, and nature to rule you, you know? But they done convinced you that all of this is evil, and the man on the hot sauce bottle, you know, with the pitchfork. It just bugs me out, man, how, you know, we got grown. Check this out, man. You know, like my stepfather, man, bless the man, you know, but it's like, oh, my God, man. Let me see. What? It's 2017. He been waiting on the rapture, man, since 1999, man. And every year, this man hit me up talking about, you know, we got canned food in the garage, so when Jesus come and get us, you know, we love your son. And I'm like, look, man, I keep telling you. Man, stop it. You look stupid, man. Jesus ain't coming back.
And you know what? You know what makes that even worse?
What's up?
You know how we talk about how white people plan generationally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like they'll do something, they'll be doing something now that they're really trying to set up their grandchildren and their great grandchildren.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why would black folks plan generationally if they're constantly in a state of Jesus is coming back?
Yeah, it's a psyop, man. I tried to impress that upon him, too. I was just like, look, if you repeatedly thinking that the world going to end, you know, next year, then there's no reason to plan for anything or build mm-hmm. anything. You know what I mean? He didn't understand that concept. I'm like, they got you in a state of paralysis. You know what I mean? You scared to do anything and scared to move because you basically thinking it's all for naught anyway because Jesus is coming back to save you, man. I'm like, snap out of it, man. Uh-huh. Like, you's a grown-ass man believing in Mother Goose, nigga. Stop it. It just pisses me off. It disgusts me. And my mama, finally, she's broken the spell. You know, she was a hardcore church head, too, man. And I tried to basically, you know, man, help her as much as I could. But it just, you know, the church that she went to, she seen all the devilishment that was going on in it finally. And I remember when I first came back from the military and I hollered at her and I, you know, said, you, no doubt you probably don't read this book. What was it? The World 16 Crucified Saviors by Kersey Graves. Have you heard of that? Yeah, you know, and I read that book and I was like, wow, man. Like all of these saviors came before Jesus with the exact same story. You know, I was tripping off that, right? So I shared it with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was just crazy. I like, man, these are grown-ass people, man, that I'm trying to talk to. She said, no, baby. She said, that's nothing but the devil. See, she said, this was her rationale. She said, the devil knew what the story of Jesus would be. So he went back in time and he made all of these other saviors to make it seem like Jesus was a phony. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like,
wow.
So now the devil, you know, he got like a time machine and he go, I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, mama, no, I'm like, this, I mean, go ahead and look up, you know, like a Tammuz and Mithra and Buddha. And I'm like, these cats came before. I'm like, it's well documented. The devil, I'm like, he didn't go back in time in a time machine, okay? He didn't do it. It's crazy. So,
well,
yeah.
I put it like this to people. I tell people all the time that you know, subscribe to that. If what Christians, if what Baptist Christians believe is true, meaning all of the, not just what's in the Bible, but what has become the tradition, because some of the stuff they do, it's not even in the Bible. It's just a tradition that's been passed down. But if they believe all of that shit, then we all fucked.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point. Like, if you believe in, because some Baptist Christians believe that if you're not baptized the way, that's when I was done with Christianity, by the way.
Okay.
That's when I was done. I went, you know, I came up being raised by my grandmother. You know, she's a Baptist Christian. And she would take me with her to church all the time. And I was one of them kids that would ask the questions they could never answer.
Exactly.
And they get mad at me and I get in trouble and shit.
Okay.
But we went to one church and there was a minister that was up there preaching. And it wasn't until I became a fully grown adult and understood marketing and shit that I finally realized what he was doing.
Okay.
Because it didn't have shit to do with religion. But basically what he was saying was, if you're being baptized, I think the way Peter got baptized, you're not going to heaven because you're supposed to be baptized the way Jesus was baptized.
Hmm.
And I was like, hold on, let's back up for a second.
Oh my God.
So the Bible says that all you need is the faith of a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're telling me that you can end up going to hell on a technicality? That's basically what the brother said.
Exactly. Yep.
So I'm sitting there thinking about it like, okay, I'm done, because that don't even make sense. And when I got older, I realized what he was doing. He baptizes people the way Jesus supposedly was baptized. So what he was trying to do is all of them people that was visiting his church, he was trying to get them to come to his church so he can get more offering.
Yep.
That's all that was about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all it was about.
And trying to scare the shit out of them in the process, of course, because fear is a, you know, a big motivator, especially to the uninitiated, the useless eater. So they like, man, I don't want to go to hell on a technicality. I need to go to this man's church because he obviously got the answers. You know what I mean? Yeah, I done seen it, man. Oh, wow, man. So I don't know. Let me see here. So you was done with Christianity. And so what was your next step after that? Because I remember you saying that you was affiliated with the Nation at one time, right?
My next step after that was the Nation. And partially because I had an uncle. Well, I got an uncle that, you know, he always was in the house. And this brother, all he did was play Farrakhan tapes.
Okay.
All the time. So I would always hear Minister Farrakhan preaching even when I was younger.
Yeah.
And he would always, he was like the, kind of like the black sheep in the family. So he would always be the one that would walk through grandma's house and tell her, you need to take that white Jesus off the wall. You know, that type of shit. So I would hear that. Huh?
Now go ahead.
So I would hear that. And, at the same time, he, you know, he's the one that gave me a message to the black man to read, How to Eat to Live.
Right.
He even gave me the video, the, not the video, but the tape cassette, the cassette tape collection of the Theology of Time.
Damn.
By Elijah Muhammad.
Theology of Time. Woo.
I got a lot of information from him. And then when I got older and I just was finally tired of Christianity, I joined the Nation for like a brief period.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left the Nation because I felt like they were doing
the same thing.
Felt like they were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of like worshiping
a white man.
Mr. Farrakhan.
Well, not just
and
that.
And I was like,
oh, go ahead, man. I'm right? Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just felt like they were, you know, to me, I felt like it was the same thing.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. And then on top of that, I saw other little things that bothered me. Like, for instance, there was one brother that was the minister of the mosque,
mm-hmm.
and I had a conversation with him where he was talking about he was trying to get into real estate, and there was another brother that was in the mosque. He wasn't a minister. He was like a captain or something, and he was in real estate.
Right.
So I was like, why wouldn't the brother give you the information that, you know, I don't know why, but it's just, I started seeing a bunch of stuff I wasn't feeling.
Yeah.
So I stopped, you know what I'm saying, and I went on this other journey that was more like a spiritual, more esoteric type thing. And I'm going to be honest,
uh-huh.
that's when I seen the most peace mentally.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Once I decided to just not even deal with organized religion, that's when spiritually I can honestly say I felt the most peace.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, they... you especially look at me sideways, man, because I basically tell them, all right, look, it's real simple. What you are doing when you ascribe to the so-called the tenets and the philosophies of religions, you're basically submitting yourself to the words and the rules and the laws of men. But, you know, people can't uh-huh. wrap their minds around that. They're like, no, it's God. I'm like, no, it's men. It's a priest class, not only a priest class, but also a political class, you know, because, you know, the whole religion and politics is hard to separate when you get high, you know, high up. But it's like, you know, they make rules and laws for you to follow, period. You know what I mean? And only
yeah.
God-like men can see that, and only God-like men refuse to bow down to the rules and laws of other mortal men. You know, people look like, man, like, you've been reading too many comic books. I'm like, well, that may be true, but I mean, but I'm not going to be subject to the rules and laws, except for the IRS, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, the rules and laws of men, it's not happening. You know, just like why I can't really get with too many black women, because I tell every black woman I get with, because you know how they are with the church. You know, there's church this, church that, Jesus this, Jesus that.
Yeah.
I'm like, bitch, I refuse to be pimped by your church and your pastor. There's only room for one man in the house. You know, so don't come up in my spot talking about what the pastor said. I don't want to hear that shit. You know what I mean? And I mean, that is just totally blasphemous to black women. And I'm like, I can't cohabitate with no creature that nut hugs the preachers, man. It's not happening, man. So I don't know. What do you think about that, man? Like, what do you think about the black woman and her satiation, man, with her just fascination, just want to be pimped by them cats in the pulpit, man?
Oh, it's a desperate attempt to get next to a man that she perceives has some power.
Mm, mm, mm.
And that's all that shit is. It's pathetic, in my personal opinion.
Right. Shoot, I mean, have you ever had to deal with that? You know, a woman always bumping her gums about the pastor, and you know, he said this and he said that. And have you been in a relationship like that?
Not during my relationships.
Okay.
I've always been. What's the best way to say this without sounding conceited? Like in any relationship that I've ever been in, I've been too imposing of a force.
Okay.
For another dude to compete with it.
I got you.
You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Right.
So I haven't had to deal with that during a relationship. I had to deal with it after.
Mm-hmm.
Like when me and my kid's mother were no longer together, and she started because she was with me when I joined the Nation. So
okay.
she went to the Nation and learned all the same stuff I learned. But then when we stopped and we were no longer together, she went back to Christianity.
Okay.
So when she went back to Christianity, this particular minister that, you know, of that church, she was going hard following him.
You ain't no pimp. You're rest haven for home.
The hottest under the sun. Nobody fucking with me, man. Hey, you already know that pimpin'. Can't you any practice with dreams to come true? Fuck up my dreams.
Somebody gon' die tonight.
Hey, you already know that pimpin'. Hey, it's Cash Money Records, man, a lawless game. Unfucking believable. Lil Wayne's the president. Fuck him, fuck him, fuck him. Even if they celibate, I know the game is crazy. It's more crazy than it's ever been. I'm married to that crazy bitch. Call me Kevin Federline. It's obvious that he'll be Cash Money till the death of him. The ground shall break when they bury him. Bury him. I know one day they gotta bury him. Better lock my casket tight, baby, so I don't let the devil in. Nigga, it's just me and my guitar. Yeah, bitch, I'm heavy metalin'. You can get the fucking Led Zeppelin. Niggas is bitches, bitches. I think they full of estrogen. And we hold court and take your life for a settlement. Yes, I'm the best. And no, I ain't positive, I'm definite. I know the game like I'm reffing it. This is the Carter 3, the New Testament. And I'm the God, and this is what I bless them with. Bitch, I'm me, I'm me.
Somebody gon' die tonight.
Hey, you already know that pimpin'. Hey, it's Cash
had to deal with it after the fact, but I know the only reason I really dealt with it is because I wasn't in that household.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was the stronger influence on her. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I know about it. Like, I've witnessed it. I've seen chicks that, you know, they just, whatever the pastor say, they just, you know, it's just pathetic.
Man, and especially in my profession, man, it's like, because I've been dealing with women hardcore, man, you know, for like 25 years, man, and I dealt with them all, man, and it's just like, man, the most thottish, freakish, you know, chicks imaginable, man, got the nerve to be on Facebook talking about praise Jesus. Jesus woke me up today. I'm like, are you serious? You just did a threesome with me and another broad last night, man. Are you really gonna sit there and praise Jesus on Facebook? Yeah, it's crazy, man. I'm like, man, they don't have no shame, man. I'd be like, I'm living in it's the Matrix for real. I can't understand it, man. And then they look at me like I'm the devil. You know what I mean? Because I don't go to church and I don't worship this man up in the pulpit, man. I done been kicked out of so many churches. It ain't funny, man. It's like, because I used to have a cable access TV show, man, in Dayton, Ohio, man. It ran for like 8 years, and that's all I did was talk crazy about Christians, man, and, you know, it was some more racial stuff, man, because I was kind of in and out of the racial things where I was low-key. I don't want to say I was really hating white folks because, you know, my upbringing was with white people, you know what I mean? But I still had that residual Nation of Islam slant on me, you know what I mean? So, yeah, they threatened to bomb the TV station. I was a man, I'm surprised I'm still alive, man. Shoot, boy. I'm a lightning rod for controversy, man. You know, I was YouTube before there was YouTube. Back in the early 90s. In the early 90s, I was actually on TV for 8 years, bro. Shoot. And people still come up to me on the streets, be like, man, for real? Like, you need to do that show. I'm like, nah, man, I don't have the balls, man. I can't do it. Mm-mm. I don't have the energy. I'm too old for that, man. You know, that was when I didn't care, man. I was like, bring it on. I'm like, man, I'm having too much fun in my life now. I don't want to stress that out. So, let me ask you this, man. Let me see here. What we got? I'm going to try and see if I can throw you a curveball. Because check it out. I don't, man, almost everything that you say, man. It's like, man, I fucks with that, man. It's like, damn. It's like, man, about 95% of the stuff you kick, I'm like, I'm with that, okay. But there's something that I slightly deviate on, okay? Let me see if I can throw you a curveball. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, check it out. All right. You ever see Dead Presidents, the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you familiar with the character Cuddy?
Cuddy,
okay. Yeah. All right. So you're familiar with Cuddy. Do you remember what his main role in the movie was, like, you know what I mean? What was he doing in the movie?
Cuddy was a pimp, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, basically, from what I'm gathering, he was a heroin dealer. Kind of like a gangster heroin dealer or whatever. And he was basically taking care of, you know, I can't remember old boy's name. You know, Lorenz Tate's girl.
Wife. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's taking care of his wife.
Right, okay, all right. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think he was an alpha male?
Cuddy?
Yeah. Be honest, man. Be honest.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay, why?
I wouldn't say that Cuddy, the only alpha male on that movie, in my opinion, was, The guy that was like kind of his mentor, the one with one leg.
Okay, all right, the dude that ran the bar. Okay.
The reason why I said that Cuddy wasn't an alpha male because he was simping.
Oh, damn. Okay, break that down. Why was he simping? What makes you say that he was simping?
He was taking care. All right, old boy was going out to Vietnam.
Right.
This dude was basically on some Captain Save-A-Ho shit. Because he was taking care of her and old boy's baby while he was gone. And he knew that she was married to another dude and shit. So right. Like, you know, he in the streets giving out charity and shit.
Ah, nigga, I could, man, I was gonna trip you up, nigga. I was gonna trip you up, and you done fucked it all up, man. You done fucked it all up. All right. This was the argument I was gonna present. Damn you to hell. Okay. All right, cause see, I asked you, was he an alpha male? And I was assuming that you'd be like, hell yeah, he's alpha male, man. He handling his business, you know what I'm saying? He kicking niggas' asses in the street, man. He about his business, you know, he a boss, he a baller. But, you know, Angry Man said, hell no, fuck that nigga, he a simp. My next question was going to be, of course, I was going to ask you, well, if he's an alpha male, right, do you think that he was tricking and simping, right? And you were supposed to fall into the trap, but you didn't fall into the trap. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, you know, because you basically said the nigga, he's a trick and a simp. So it goes with what you said previously, that you think that this nigga was a simp. Ah, man, there you go. Well, see.
Like you. Go ahead. If you have a, all right, so you got a dude that's he's a freaking heroin dealer.
Right.
You know, he obviously got a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Out of all the chicks he could be hollering at, he go to holler at a chick that's already married and got a kid by. See, here's my thing. I already have an issue with
tricking
dudes that not only tricking, but dudes that actively try to. See, I understand the concept of getting into a long-term relationship with a woman and what you have to sacrifice as a man.
Right.
So in my opinion, any dude that actively pursues another man's woman,
right,
is just, like, it's too many women in the world for that, one.
Right.
And two, this dude got to put up with a bunch of fucking shit from this woman. And if you're the side dude, you're not putting up with half the shit he got to put up with.
No doubt.
But you're kind of rewarding her.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because she's having her cake and eating it too. I just have a thing with that, man. Like, if you fuck around and fuck a chick and you don't know she got a woman, that's one thing.
Right.
But when you know, especially if you know that's a married woman and you actively like, yeah, I don't give a fuck, I'm a fucker. Like,
right.
I just got a thing about that, man.
Damn. So he don't get no points for taking care of the baby and her while he at war? You don't get no points for that?
Hell no.
Hell no. Nah. So just let him starve, huh?
Because you know what?
What's up?
If he hadn't did that, she would have had to figure out another way, or she would have had to depend more on her family instead of fucking another dude.
Right.
While her man is out risking his fucking life and shit.
Right. Nigga, man, you done fucked up. Damn, nigga, you figured it out. Okay, check it out. Let me ask you this. Okay. That's crazy, man. Hey, I just knew I had you. I was going to get you, but no, you went ahead. All right. But okay, see, yeah, I done peeped out some of the things you done said, you know, pertaining to. Let me see here. Lost my train of thought, man. Let me see here. Basically, your argument is cats like that, man, that go out and actively, you know, just, you know, take the shortcut. Because I heard what you said. You said the niggas that do that is lazy, that basically pay the bitch up front. And I agree, because I do that. I pay bitches up front. I do business with women, you know, because I used to sell pussy. I used to pimp, you know what I mean? And I'm done with that shit. And so now, you know, the females that have been rocking with me for the past 10 years, yeah, I break some off. You know, every now and then they come over here. We have our little fun. Uh-huh. I send them on their way with a care package and shit. And you're right. Nigga, it's a shortcut, and I'm lazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let me say this. Ooh-wee, man. Nigga, you threw me all off, man. You done fucked up my whole train of thought with that shit. I got to beat Angry Man. Let me see here. Okay, yeah, like I said, you said that niggas is lazy. Let me see. Damn. Damn it, man.
Niggas is either, well, let me, you know what?
Yeah.
Let me make this distinction.
Go ahead.
Because sometimes there's cats that they don't, like, they hear what I say,
mm-hmm.
and they take
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
One of the two. If you're busy, mm-hmm. that means you're getting money.
Yeah.
And if you're getting money, then just like I told old boy, there was one dude on BGS, he right. makes six figures. I said, oh, well, shit, I can't talk shit to you.
Right, right.
Because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you're producing. My problem is with niggas that ain't producing shit, and they're not trying to do anything, and it's like, let me pay Bonquisha down the street
right.
$20 or buy her kid some kicks so I can get some pussy. That's just lazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just...
Yeah, it's lazy,
it's like,
man.
Come on, man. That's just the bullshit.
Shit, yeah. It was a... damn, man. Because I'm about to say, because I couldn't totally disagree with you on it, right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how I just lost my whole train of thought. Hold on one sec, all right? Let me turn on the light, because I got some notes here. Hold on. If I read these notes, I'll be able to remember what I was going to say. You done fucked up my head, homie. Hold up. Homie, hold up. Homie, hold up. Homie, hold up. Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah, because basically, you know, you had the stance. She was saying that dudes that do that fuck up the game for other cats, you know what I'm saying? If a female get used to, you know, a dude cupcaking, you know what I mean? She gonna expect that from a lot of cats. So that's your stance, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And when I heard you say that, I was thinking to myself, nah, that ain't true. But then I was waffling. I was vacillating on it and shit, man, because, of course, I know there's plenty of females out here that choose plenty dirty dick riding. These ain't got shit to offer them, uh-huh. you know what I'm saying, and shit. And so I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I can't say Angry Man is really wrong about that, because one of the situations where, you know, when Donald Trump was running, one of the selling points was, you know, when I heard he was going to go ahead and cut the welfare, you know, cut the budget, you know what I'm saying? And I was just like, uh-huh. hell yeah, I want that shit, because that's going to make these hoes, you know, get a little bit of act right, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's going to humble them a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So when I heard you say that, it forced me to kind of, you know, go into the Rolodex of my mind, and I was just like, well, no, I can't say Angry Man wrong on that, because I am the same dude that wanted these females to get their heads split wide open with that Trump welfare cutback, and that's the same concept that Angry Man's really talking about, just on a grand scale, you know what I'm saying? Because these females, they feeding into, you know, just being asses and being asinine because they have a sugar daddy, which is the government, giving them carte blanche to act an ass. And in the short order, you know, that bleeds down to, you know, to the fellas, man, you know, that's trying to get with these chicks. Well, go ahead. What you think?
Well, you got to realize this whole concept of these chicks running to Dirty Dick Rodney that don't have nothing, that's what they've always been doing.
Okay.
But this concept of dudes being open about paying for pussy, that's new.
Right, right.
That's new. So right. what it's doing, it's not the fact of dudes. See, a lot of cats misunderstood when I was breaking it down. It's not the fact that dudes are paying for pussy that's the biggest part of the problem.
Okay.
Dudes have always paid for pussy. They're going to pay for pussy, you know, and it's the oldest profession in the world. But the problem comes in where the chick who will go fuck with a nigga just off the strength of, I like that nigga, she's going to look at it like, shit, I might as well be charged.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then it creates this market for these bitches to think that they can get money for their subpar pussy.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that just creates a whole nother... Like, when you look at like, wealthy white men who pay for pussy, like, that's a whole nother story.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying for convenience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because they're busy men. They're busy running the damn world. Meanwhile, you look at the brothers. You know, a brother that's out here that makes $10 an hour,
mm-hmm.
who got no business paying for pussy.
Hell no, okay.
None.
None.
No business paying for pussy.
Mm.
You know, because he got... He, got some shit he needs to take care of. For real.
Man, you need to concentrate on more than some pussy. You know what I'm saying?
Damn straight.
Yeah, hell nah. So, I mean, well, what do you think about, you know, an old man that make $10 an hour paying for pussy? Is there a certain cutoff?
That's a whole nother category. when you become an old man, that's different.
Okay, all right.
But if you're an old man and you ain't, you know, you done tried your whole life to be successful and you just wasn't able to get it, hey, I ain't mad at you.
So you gonna get an old brother's a pass?
Oh hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
You gotta get an old brother's pass. Oh, you know why you gotta get an old brother's pass?
What's up?
Because they live in a world that's way more fucked up than what they were accustomed to.
Man, no doubt.
They used to have it made, and you know, when you, like, the younger brothers nowadays, they already know what it is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They know what it is. Like, they know how to maneuver. These old heads, they have no idea. When they run up on these chicks and they start talking that crazy shit, they don't know how to process that shit.
Hell nah, man. Shit. Man, you motherfucker. Hey, I thought I was going to get you, man. I thought I was going to get you. I got to give it to you, man. You're pretty thorough. Hey, I just knew I was gonna get you, man. I'm like, man, he gonna say cut is an alpha. I know he gonna, man, you threw a curve on a nigga. Okay, I got one more question, man. We gonna wrap this up, man. Well, I got one more question, man, because I see, you know, since we doing the geek culture, man, yeah, I see you fucks with DBZ, Dragon Ball Z. Man, yeah, I ain't watched it in a while, man. They got all these new interpolations and these new stories and shit, but I just wanna ask you, who, if you, it's going to be a geek question, man. If you could be any character in DBZ, who would it be?
It would definitely be Vegeta.
Oh, nigga, man. You stealing my thunder, nigga. You stealing my shine. Man, yeah, I'll fucks with Vegeta, man. He my favorite character, man. Vegeta's my favorite character, man. God, man, that's a beautiful
thing. Vegeta has more character development and he has more depth as a character.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Vegeta was basically, like, I have this theory about Dragon Ball Z that the Saiyans are black people. Mm-hmm. Saiyans are niggas.
Okay.
Because if you look at it,
with the monkeys,
they enslaved their whole race.
Right. And they supposed to be monkeys.
Yeah, and he called them monkeys and shit. He called them racial slurs, and then they got kinky hair.
Yep.
And, like, he basically just took over their whole shit and enslaved them. And Vegeta, you know what I'm saying? Like, he literally, that nigga went through some real shit. Like, Goku was chilling.
Man. Hell no. Yeah, Kakarot. I'm trying to tell you, man, that cartoon, boy, it had me wide open, man. Every day, religiously, I was in front of that joint, man, watching the Cell Wars and, you know, Frieza and Cooler. And, man, I was like, man, just when you think they couldn't take the power level up no higher, no further, that was the most interesting thing to me, man, watching, you know, because they had encounters, man, that them little glasses they was wearing, and they're just looking at each other's power level. And it's each episode, man, it was like, man, like, you more powerful than you was yesterday? It was just crazy, man, watching these dudes blow up planets. I'm like, this is bananas. These dudes is bananas, man. Yeah, that's my thing, man. But check this out, man. We're going to close this one out, man. We're going up damn near on 90 minutes on this joint, man. What I want you to do, man, just tell cats, man, where they can find you, man, and what you all about, man, and, you know, the whole donation process and all the Patreon joint, man. So what's going on, man? Hit us up.
Man, everybody can find me. All you have to do is go to theangrymanchannel.com, and from there, everything is on that webpage. You can find all of my channels. Right now, I got 4 different channels. You can find my Patreon links. You can find everything at that one spot. So go to theangrymanchannel.com. And you can follow me on all social media at Angry Man Channel. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Periscope, at Angry Man Channel.
Man. Ah, nigga, you got me. He got me. I'm not gonna sleep tonight. I'm not gonna sleep tonight. Cause I was gonna brag. I was gonna gloat that I tricked you. I'm like, yeah, I got that nigga. I got him. I'm like, damn. Okay, man. Hey, man, it's been beautiful, man. It's been a pleasure going ahead, rapping to you, man. Appreciate you taking time, you know, to holler at my crew, man. My cats over at Liberated Syndicate, man. They've been chomping at the bit for me to get you on. And it has finally happened, man. It has finally happened. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bid all the players adieu, man. This is Big Mike, man, the Fat Max, y'all mighty Triple XL, coming at y'all live and direct from MaxCity.com. And please, like Angry Man said, go over and check him out, man. Support this cat, man. He is serious about his business, man. He's turning out really good quality content, man. So with that said, we are out. We are out. We are out. We are out. For this. Try to.
Dr. Banner, now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry.
Fat Almighty Triple XL.
Tell her how it is.
Live record from MaxCity.com.
Yo. Percocet, yeah. Miley Percocet, Percocet, yeah. Miley Percocet, represent, yeah. Gotta represent, yeah. Chase a chick, chase. Never chase a bitch, chase no bitch. Mask on, fuck it, mask on, mask, mask on, fuck it, mask on, mask on. Percocet, Miley Percocet, chase a chick, chase. Never chase a bitch, chase no bitch. Two cups, toast out with the game. From food stamps to a whole nother domain. Out the bottle, I'm a living proof. Ain't compromising, half a million on the coup. Drug houses, looking like Peru. Graduated, I was overdue. Pink Miley, I can barely move. Ask about me, I'm gon' bust a move. Red James, 33 chains. Ocean now, cruising Biscayne. Top on, that's a liability. Hit the gas, boosting my adrenaline. Percocet, Miley Percocet, Percocet, Miley Percocet, represent, gotta represent. Chase a chick, never chase a bitch. Mask on, fuck it, mask on. Mask on, fuck it, mask on. Percocet, Miley Percocet, chase a chick, never chase a bitch, chase no bitches. Photo maybe, I drive anything, buy my range, make them go insane. DJ Eskimo City.
I got a halo, I level up every time God says so. Shoot on payroll, looking like Pancho, looking like Pedro. When they street from Tarzan, 10 dividend go grow when I say grow. Kung Fu Kenny with the Midas touch. Ain't no penny that I don't touch. Y'all my enemy bite on dust. Ain't no talking when it's fatal. Having hard, I can't tell.
Wait.
Half of y'all might need help.
Wait.
I might fall in Rodale,
bitch.
I might ball in Australia.
Say no more.
I might call a full real.
Say no more.
All I ask go unveil.
Wind blows in the windows and I snuck in with a Vic Law. She got me like tinfoil. Know who we sent for.
Plan them. Gotta look at self and ask what happened. How y'all let a conscious nigga go commercial while only making conscious albums? How y'all let the braids on TV? How y'all let the hood at the table? Now y'all don't even know how to rate them. Niggas looking like I'm a creative player. Everybody who didn't pay respect, gotta fess up now and pay your debts. Gotta lay something down to make a threat. Gotta say something now, don't hold your breath. How you mean I ain't floating? I got the salt, got the potion. I got a all like emotions and emotions. I put career in the Goshen's and put the body in the ocean. I made an oath when my nigga told me to go in. Then he died on a cold bench. All my old friends living life on a slow end. Gotta keep shit rolling. It's deep.
It's deep. It's deep.
I done fucked so much I can't sleep.
I can't sleep.
I done fucked so much I'm retired. I'm about to live my life through day free. She said she broke down when Prince died.
It's all right.
Bitch,
it's
my
all
hair
right.
Down. Prince lived through me.
I am Prince.
Get your ass up and be inspired.
Get inspired.
You know how many bodies in the street.
Many,
take
many,
the
many.
Mask off so you can see.
Percocet, Miley Percocet,
be firm.
Percocet, Miley Percocet,
be firm.
Represent.